Welcome to Doctor Who On Target. The podcast where we discuss the target range of classic Doctor Who novelisations from the 1970s and 80s. Those long ago days where, if you missed Doctor Who on TV, you missed it forever. Unless, of course, you bought the Target novelisation. So, join us, jump aboard the TARDIS, set the time rotor for late 20th century Earth, and, with a wheezing, groaning sound, we'll discuss Doctor Who on Target.
Hello, this is Doctor Who on Target, and this is David in Cardiff.
And this is Greg in Cardiff. And at the moment we are actually sitting right outside the BBC Doctor Who studios and the
Doctor Who Experience.
Yay! we've had a great day going between the two. David, tell everybody what we've actually done today.
It has been a very full day because we went into the Doctor Who Experience and we spent a good 90 minutes in there, and then it was time to come out and go to the Doctor Who TARDIS set tour over at BBC Wales. And then we snuck back through the exit and we got back and we looked at all the things in the Doctor Who Experience that we hadn't previously seen. And then we visited the gift shop and then they threw us out because they locked up.
We did stay right... We were literally thrown out. We were right
there. Well, literally thrown out, but we were just asked politely to move along.
I think they said the exit's that way, isn't it? It's quite... But
as I say, yes, the Doctor Who Experience, it's tinged with a bit of sadness, actually, because my understanding is that the experience is due to close. Is that right, Greg?
Yeah, it is. It's due to close this summer, and... We all had a bit of a loss, really. There's been it's been here for 5 years in this form. It was a purpose built building actually for the Doctor Who Experience. It was paid for by Cardiff Council at a cost of £12 million, but we also know that it has brought in £15 million a year in profits for the past 5 years. So David, it's been really busy here today.
It has indeed, and we're not even in the school holidays, and there have been loads and loads of customers coming through today. Both tours seemed fully booked. Parties were being taken across to the BBC studios. We saw the same people coming across, so yes, it's making money. I don't understand it myself.
No, it'd be really sad, I think, for it to go, because we'll give our review of it in a moment, but... Just to continue with that, it's a real local attraction. I mean, when you're driving here, for example, I love it because the actual motorway signs, I don't know if you noticed, David, have got Dalek icons on them for the Doctor Who exhibition this way, which is great. I never thought in my lifetime that I'd be driving on a motorway and see Dalek signs on the official signage for the motorway.
It was raining so hard yesterday, I couldn't see out the window, let alone any signage, but... Take your word for that one, but I've certainly got friends who travel up from London for this. We're in a commutable distance, it's a 4-hour drive from where I live, and people seem to come here and have a whale of a time. So, yes, unless there's something we're not being told, it makes no commercial sense to actually remove it from the bay, because it's a real honeypot of a place and quite clearly very, very popular.
Yes, yeah. Well, for the moment, unless things change, all we can do is give our review of it as
well,
it
we
is.
We can, we can. And I think it's fair to say we both had a very good time today.
Oh, yes.
And that the exhibition is very well done. There's a preamble, actually, before you get into the props section of the exhibition, which was basically about the TARDIS being attacked by space octopi, and you had to help the Doctor...
Yes.
free himself from these octopi by collecting some crystals, which your tour guide helpfully spoon-fed you through various creepy, I don't know, what do you call them, tableau,
yeah,
would you?
Yeah, sort of tableau.
Tableau, one featuring the Daleks, one featuring the Weeping Angel.
Yeah, yeah.
And one featuring I Am Foreman's Junkyard.
Yes, yeah, I like that one. And of course, we flew on the TARDIS.
Well, we did. Yeah. We actually, yes, you have to help the Doctor fly the TARDIS. I found out I was a natural at this because all I did was move the lever to the right and we seemed to get out of it okay.
You got us to safety.
I did indeed, yeah. I'm very proud of that, although I don't think my contribution to the ride was sufficiently acknowledged with applause by everybody else in the room, but you can't win them all. You know, the victory was mine.
Yeah, typical humans on planet Earth. You save them all, David.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
They just
care.
Take it for granted. Take it for granted. But yes, if you've... I did that experience the last time I came. I came and ran the Cardiff Half Marathon back in 2013. And it's actually on the running route. And they actually put some Daleks and some other folk outside the experience and waved the runners round, which I thought was rather nice. And then the next day I actually went to the experience when Matt Smith was still on the throne, but we knew he was leaving. And in a way it was, I don't know, I got a bit of a Dead Man Walking vibe from the pre-recorded entertainment. Today I felt was better. I felt the pre-recorded sequence with Peter Capaldi was very good.
Right, yeah.
I did enjoy experiencing it differently, having a different experience to the one I had originally.
Yeah.
And
sorry, David.
We don't know who the new Doctor is. Obviously, we're rooting for Danny Dyer, but it might not happen. But let's just hope the ride's still there for the next incumbent of the role, whoever he or she may be.
Well, shall we pitch in and tell our listeners exactly the three people who we saw today at the
BBC? I think you should do that, and I think we should prepare for the internet to melt.
Well, we know that director, you've got to bear in mind now that all filming on Series 10 has finished.
Mm.
They are going to be coming back in a month.
July. Yeah.
To film the Christmas special. But all other films. But yet, there were three people there today who should not have been there.
Mm.
And that was Rachel Talalay, the director. And then we had Michael Pickwode, the designer of the TARDIS, TARDIS set, looking around the TARDIS.
Mm.
And then, when we were just coming back from our lovely pizza we had, who did we see walking away from the studios going into the
TARDIS? What's that man's name?
Chris Chibnall.
Oh, that's the guy, yes. We saw him.
Now, what was he doing? Now, we know he's a fan, so we could have been going into...
to the experience.
Yeah, it's possible.
But it's possible that he was also at BBC Wales
planning
Series 11.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so that was a real...
So that's a Doctor Who's on Target exclusive.
Absolutely, yeah. And we did try to get out of them in the set about, is it really going to be Danny Dyer, didn't we? But
they've been sworn to secrecy.
They were absolutely
tight-lipped.
But, so those are the three people we see today, which has got our... And also, there was something missing from the Doctor Who experience. Demon?
Yes, there was. There was the yellow Victorian roadster. Now, what was that called?
Oh, gosh.
Nessie?
Of course.
Bessie,
yes. No, there was a sign up saying, what was it?
Closed for refurbishment or something.
Well,
No.
Don't believe it.
It was an original prop as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's gone.
I think it's being zipped about at this moment by Peter Capaldi, and I think that's my theory.
They've got it, giving it to him for Christmas, or he's going to drive it, or somebody's going to drive it.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Christmas special.
That's the problem with coming here. You've got, because the studios are right next door, and you've got the community, really, of Doctor Who going on here. you can come across all these things, and it's quite interesting, you know. You don't know what. But do you think, going back to the X-Men, for the people who've never been lucky enough to visit it, it's a huge building, David, isn't it?
Oh, it's very big, yes. Very big indeed. It's like an aircraft hangar.
It is, actually, isn't it? But in TARDIS blue.
I think the architect who designed it actually did aircraft hangars as well.
Yes, yeah. It's great. It's in TARDIS blue. It's right on the bay. And you go in. Every time I come, I'm shocked by how jam-packed it is with Doctor Who memorabilia.
Oh, it just gets more and more as they make more shows.
Yeah.
Because the original exhibition... Now, I went to an exhibition in Longleat at the time of Classic Who, and some of the things that we used to have in those dark days have migrated and are now in the Doctor Who experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Or at least representations of them. There used to be a moth-eaten yeti that was at Longleat, and there used to be an ice warrior at Longleat as well, and these were the oldest surviving props at that time, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
Some of the things in the Doctor Who experience, they call them, what do they call them? They call them replicas, which is a crafty way of saying that they're not original props.
Yes.
And some of them are marked as... camera used, was it?
Screen used props. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is something somebody's made and has in some way been used towards some production, but not necessarily the one that you're supposed to associate it with primarily.
Yes. Yeah.
We saw quite a few things as well. We saw various TARDIS sets. We've seen the... The latest one, we say that, but we think someone was in redesigning it for the 13th Doctor today, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So we saw this wonderful 360-degree TARDIS set, and we saw how constrained the space was inside and on how many levels the set actually sat.
Yes, yeah. I thought it was three levels, but it's actually four.
It's four levels.
Four levels, and it's like a giant egg sort of structure.
Yes, it's a sphere, isn't it?
It is a sphere.
Well, it could be an egg.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be one of those, I don't know, it's like one of those wire cages that people sometimes ride motorbikes on.
Yeah, on a huge scale,
like,
sort of.
Totally. Well, it's spherical. Let's go there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has got gantries. It's got different levels. There are removable bits in the wall to get different kinds of shots, to pull back, to put the camera, to divorce the camera from the immediacy of the set, so they can do the longer shots and get a wider view of it.
Yeah, yeah.
There were the trademark inside white TARDIS doors, where the best shot of the one with the puddle, what one's that?
The pilot
was pulled back with the camera. Marvellous. And apparently that camera that performed that shot was on a zip wire and flew across the top of the TARDIS set.
In order
to get that pullback from the tight door shot to the expanse of the TARDIS.
Yeah, it was quite fascinating.
And filmed through a wide angle lens. Obviously it looks bigger still. It looks wider still.
And we also learned that, I can't remember how many weeks it took, but did they say it took two electricians, 2 weeks, was it?
2 weeks, I think.
To wire
the thing up.
Because it's jam-packed. All the switches and things actually do function, don't they? They said if you press a switch, it turns a light or it makes a sound or it does the... So everything was there. It was roped off the actual console.
Bits of them, they said, don't touch the console, but we got pretty close to touching it. In fact, I probably did.
Ooh, maybe we did.
Touch it slightly by accident.
And also,
but it's being broken up tomorrow to make way for the new set, so it's no matter.
that could be an absolutely true statement. We don't know that. But also on the different levels, you know, it just looked fabulous, didn't it? I just love it. You do feel like you've gone into the TARDIS.
To a different world.
Yeah.
It's transported. And I noticed that it had a gauze roof through which you could see the ceiling lights of the studio floor. But of course, when filming happens, they just use the actual lighting rig which sits in the roof and downlight it from the ceiling, and you don't get any of that. And it was also air conditioned, wasn't it?
Oh,
the
yeah.
first TARDIS set to have air conditioning. It had a great big pipe coming out the side of it.
They said Peter Capaldi's the first one to have that.
Yes, he is. The first doctor to have an air conditioned TARDIS.
Yeah.
Because
apparently
the others have all baked on that set.
Gosh, yeah. Because I can imagine it was getting...
I can imagine it would get quite close in there after the first few hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was really impressive. And as we walked in through the... Because you have to go up a metal gantry sort of halfway up, don't you? Then through the TARDIS doors. But on the right-hand side, on level two, was it? Was Peter Capaldi's guitar.
Oh, yes, yes. Which he bought from a music shop in Cardiff.
Yeah. And they said when he's relaxing and waiting for them to... I don't know, set up the cameras,
he plays.
Yeah, he actually plays it, which is... And they also said that every time you see Capaldi playing guitar on the screen, it really is him playing.
I sort of thought it was him, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I did think it was him. It's quite a hard thing to fake.
Yeah. And also, what was in the studio left over was the actual outside of the TARDIS shell, wasn't it? Which we were lucky to step inside and have a couple of photos.
Yes,
then.
There was a dismantled Dalek on the floor as well.
Yeah, there was. But not many other clues, apart from Rachel Talalay's desk, which she'd left a note on it, didn't she? Is it for people not to touch?
Don't move this or you will be exterminated, I think it said. So she was obviously quite precious about her desk.
Absolutely,
there
yes.
There are a couple of other bits and bobs in there. We saw an emoji bot, which was good.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
we saw an antique diving suit.
Yeah.
From
Thin Ice.
Thin Ice, which we both didn't enjoy that much, but the suit was great.
Yeah, yeah.
We liked Smile, so we liked seeing the emoji bot.
It was very good, actually. It was one of the blown-up ones, wasn't it? We've got a... photograph here with the it was very good. I like that emoji bot.
Very good indeed. And what else? Yes. I tell you, it was like the exterior of the set, because it's sort of all wooden boarding on the outside. It sort of looks a bit like Shakespeare's globe.
Do you know, looking at the photo, I was just about to say, David, it's not like an egg or spherical at all, is it?
I can see the gauze roof on it. Well, it gives the impression of being spherical, because all of the internal beams all come out like a sort of a Terry's chocolate orange that you've hit with a hammer.
Yes, yes, that's right. But actually, on the it does look like Shakespeare's
It does actually
globe.
looks a bit more like the globe, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting you said there.
Yes.
And also we went through the same corridors inside the recording studios where they were, what was it, the five-ish doctors, where they were...
Oh, yes, the five-ish doctors.
Yeah, where they were sneaking into the Doctor Who studios.
And hiding in Daleks.
Yeah, so it was quite...
things.
It was a really good experience. So glad that you enjoyed it, David.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It was great. And... David's friend in Canada insisted that he wanted us to take it for him, didn't he?
Yeah, it was bolted down, unfortunately, so we couldn't.
We did try. And
we would have tried harder if we'd have known.
So, back to the actual Doctor Who experience.
Experience, yes. What were the highlights? Let's think about what we really enjoyed in there.
Well, for me, first of all, you go through this scenario of... you know, as we said, this adventure that you follow on. With the octopuses. I think that's very much, you know, for the families and children.
I think so.
It's very enjoyable. There's a section where you put 3D glasses. On. That was really effective. I thought the 3D effect was really good, even though 3D's out now, isn't it? I think it's gone now. But it was quite enjoyable and a bit of fun. I imagine if you had some children with you, that would be... lovely, really nice. So, and then even as you walk straight in, it was interesting you mentioned Longleat, and I remember going to Longleat and being absolutely gobsmacked at being able to go into this completely disproportionately sized TARDIS and seeing actual real props from Doctor Who, because coming from South Wales, we never ever saw anything like that.
No.
And It was fabulous. But I noticed those ones, they sort of, they're pushed out to the, even as you walk into the Doctor experience, you've got ones like that on, you know, in the corridors there, and they're just so jam-packed in there, isn't it? What about you, David? When you we went into there, how did you feel seeing the props there?
Well, for me, the highlights, I very much enjoyed the Davros prop sitting inside his web that he was found in the, it was season 9 opener, wasn't it?
Magician's Apprentice,
where he came back. And I enjoyed him. I enjoyed the various, well, there are all sorts of Daleks in there, as you would expect from the ages. One thing that we decided in the preamble was that we really did not like the fat-skirted new Mini Cooper Daleks, as I call them. We much prefer the classic Cusack streamlined Dalek.
Yeah.
And we loitered in that section hoping to get exterminated, but there was no consequence. We were last out, and when it was quite clear they weren't going to fire, we got bored and walked out. So those large Daleks are useless at so many levels. Couldn't even fire a gun at us, for goodness sake. But I do like the we had some really old looking Daleks, sort of Genesis Daleks.
You
pointed out an original Resurrection Dalek, a black Dalek. That's in right. There as well.
Yeah,
we had the special weapons Dalek with his massive cannon on the front.
He seemed to only have one thing on his mind, had, I think.
Yes, yeah. Yes, obliterating something, I'm sure. What else was in there? We saw a wooden Cyberman. Which adventure was that from?
Oh, that was the Christmas special.
The Time of the Doctor?
No, it was the the Doctor, the Witch and the Wardrobe? No, what, the Doctor, the something and the... I think it was that one.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was that one.
What else? We saw various Cyberheads, including a 10th Planet head. And the Revenge Head, the Cyber Leader from Revenge of the Cybermen, and a Wheeling Space Head, and the Cyber Controller.
Yeah.
And then the worst one in that case was the Silver Nemesis Cyberman Head.
Oh, dear.
Which we didn't like.
Yeah.
But we like the new Cybermen. They're very, very good.
Yeah, they're
really, really good props.
Well, something we were remarking on, of course, they have got they've got a lot of original props from classic Doctor Who as well, haven't they?
And they seem to have Lynx, who was a favourite of mine. And who else did they have from classic Who? They had an Ice Warrior.
They had the original Davros next to
them. They had the giant robot looking lovely, didn't they?
Wow, the giant robot looks fantastic.
Yes. Now he's been refurbed.
Yeah, and of course they had the replica original console, which was made
The one for the Mark Gatiss docudrama.
Yes.
Adventure in Time and Space, or Space and Time. They had that one, and we think they had the annual with David Bradley on the cover.
Yes.
And it said, do not touch these props. And I couldn't help myself, so I thought, I'm going to see if it's got any content. And it was an original Doctor Who first annual, but with a fake cover put over William Hartnell.
So that is
another exclusive.
But in a way, that's quite apt, isn't it?
That's good, yes. Yeah, it's good.
You know,
good. What else did we see in that section?
Some original TARDIS props we saw.
There were some old, I don't know if they were, I doubt that they were original, but there were certainly the old Shawcroft. Is it Shawcroft?
Yes.
Shawcroft Daleks?
Yes. Yeah.
From the original Dalek adventure. They were good.
We had a couple of 1980s Silurians and Sea Devils.
Oh, yes, the Silurian and the Sea Devil looked rather sorry for itself now.
Yeah, they were. They've been battered quite a bit.
I get the feeling that those rubber suits have perished, you know.
Yes, yeah.
He seemed to be quite shriveled around the face area, didn't he?
Cheetah Woman?
We saw the Survival Cheetah.
That's it, yeah.
And we saw...
The Gravis.
Yeah. Gravis from Frontios.
Frontios.
Didn't we? And a cheetah and a Vervoid.
Oh, yes, a Vervoid.
A bit before, they were like the Ood of their day in that they had sort of
tenderly
faces.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, we're just looking through our photos to remind ourselves, and we just saw one, which was a when we were in the studio, it was a genuine switch, David. And what was it?
It said TARDIS power emergency isolation, and there was a big red switch. And I know it said TARDIS power emergency isolation, but subtextually, I read press me.
Yeah. Going to put out the electricity to the whole... Oh,
the whole of BBC Wales would have been blacked out, I'm sure, had it, I dared.
But they put a huge red arrow with a hoop saying, do not push it.
Don't touch this, yeah.
It's just so tempting. And it's in a big box, emergency. Oh, so we nearly did it.
But we didn't dare. The exhibition, so we... Oh, yeah. The original Morbius was there, wasn't he? Do you remember?
Yes.
Morbius. And
he was looking great, actually, wasn't he?
He was looking very good, wasn't he? And a Tet Trap, which I never did care for.
No.
Tet Trap. Oh, there was... what are the chaps from... Is it Mandrill? Mandrill. There was a Mandrill there, wasn't there?
Oh, yes, there was a Mandrill, yes.
From the... Is it Nightmare of Eden? They came. And as you say, there were hemivores there as well.
Curse of Fenric.
They used to have the ancient hemivore at Longleat, but I don't remember him today.
No.
Oh, they used to have the Shimmeron baby at Longleat. Oh. And he wasn't there anymore. He's probably perished.
Oh. And, I mean... It's got a huge amount of costumes.
Weeping angels everywhere.
Oh, weeping angels. The costumes. Now, it was really interesting. We were looking at the Doctor's costumes.
Through the ages.
The first two were replicas. They don't exist anymore, do they? The William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton ones were replicas.
I would be very surprised if they still existed.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that the rest were original.
I think it's possible, isn't it?
I think so. They have got signs on them, you know, saying whether they're original or replica. And, of course, they did have a lot of original sonic screwdrivers.
Oh, yes, John Pertwee's sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
Almost where it all began.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was really... We ran out of time. We could have kept looking for... We were in
we'd have gone round for ages, wouldn't we?
Yeah, there's several hours. I mean... I think it's so sad if that's going to close, because it's such a it's a home for all of Doctor Who's history and props and everything. They, not only have they just got that, and you see they've got a great Doctor Who shop with loads and loads of merchandise. Who would have thought Doctor Who would have spurned merchandise? But also they've got the Target Covers exhibition.
Oh, they have, haven't they? And there were a couple of changes to when we saw it in London.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember the Seeds of Death cover being in it originally.
No, there were a few additions.
And the Terror of the Vervoids cover was in there, but I think we'll gloss over that because it's dreadful. And which was the other one that was there? Which
There were a couple,
weren't there, that were different. And there were a couple of alternate covers. There seemed to be an alternate... a different cover for Death to the Daleks, which we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, which looked quite good.
Which looked good. And it was The Savages was the other one I was trying to think of.
Oh, yes.
The Savages cover.
Yeah. They've got that exhibition there, that which is great. You can also buy signed copies of Chris Achillios's covers.
I think there were fewer Chris Achillios covers in that new exhibition.
Yeah.
We got to see some fantastic original pictures. I don't think they had Day of the Daleks. So obviously some of the private collectors in whose hands these things are currently in, perhaps some of them wanted them back, but some of them were happy to extend the loan.
Yeah, because there wasn't the original Death to the Daleks in there, was there, which we did see in London.
I think there was, but it's tiny.
Oh,
it's one of the tiny Jeff Cummings covers, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Tomb of the Cybermen.
Yes,
with the wrong Cyberman on the cover. Well, we didn't see Horror of Fang Rock today, did we?
And that's
we didn't see or did we see Keys of Marinus? No, that had gone.
Yeah,
we saw that before.
But
so it's a little bit of a scaled down exhibition, but it's still wonderful to be in the presence. If you like Doctor Who, it really is a Doctor Who paradise, as Greg's put across.
Yeah.
If you love Doctor Who, Who's part of your makeup, then that is absolutely where you need to go to nourish your soul, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that the walls are decorated with Achillios style drawings.
Yes, that's right, they were, weren't they?
They were really nice, actually.
I
think there's not much time left if people want to go and see it, but if I mean, to all intents and purposes, it is closing, and I think people have got to go and see it now. How long have they got?
Got to see it, and they've got to make representations to whoever can reverse that decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hope that if it must close in its current location, it can be re-sited somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as I say, it's absolute folly to build a purpose-built display area. Because I was saying to you before, the first time I came to Cardiff, the exhibition was in the Red Dragon Centre, and it was on nothing like that scale.
Mm.
I remember going to see a Doctor Who exhibition on Brighton Pier, for goodness sakes.
Yes, yeah.
And Doctor Who is now huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And it deserves a permanent museum.
Yes, absolutely.
And that should be it.
Yeah, yeah. There were people from all areas of the world coming there. You know, we had were there Japanese tourists today,
we had loads,
Americans
there.
And they're absolutely loads, you know. It's and like I say, we can thoroughly recommend it. It's good value for money, I think.
Yes, it's good. The other thing that we did, rather extravagantly, but there you go, you're only on the roundabout once, was we used their green screen photo studio.
We did.
And we were photographed in front of the green screen, which was then able to put us in various Doctor Who scenarios.
Yes.
So we went into the original control room.
Yeah.
We went into the 12th Doctor's control room. We were in a graveyard with some angels.
Oh.
And we were on Gallifrey.
Yeah.
So what more can you ask for £12.50 or whatever it was?
It's incredible, really. You can't go wrong. Can you go through the door and we end up on all these alien planets.
Exactly.
And fabulous, you know.
Exactly.
Really good. So, I mean, we can't recommend it more, can we?
No, it has to be experienced.
Absolutely. Oh, very good. Very good pun there. I like that. Well, I think that wraps up our review of it.
Okay,
today.
Yes.
And we're going to get this straight out. And don't forget, we'll be doing our review for, what's next week?
Extremis.
We'll be getting that out. And we hope to, within the next week, get our review of going back to a Target novelisation.
Mind of Evil.
With
Richard Franklin reading Terence Dick's novelisation of what I think was one of the very best John Pertwee stories.
Oh, it's definitely
wonderful stuff.
It's great.
But so listen out for that one when it comes.
That's great. So we are signing off now. We're going to be leaving Cardiff now. And David?
Yes, I'd just like to say goodbye to everyone, and please listen to us again next time.
Please tweet us at Doctor Who on Target, that's DR Who on Target, or email us at DoctorWhoOnTarget@gmail.com. That's the end of this episode, and I would like to thank BBC Audio and Penguin Random House for kindly supplying us with preview copies, and to Smerin's Antisocial Club for the use of their version of the Doctor Who theme tune. The biggest thank you goes to you, our listeners.